and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Whether you're dealing with engineering or technology, when you talk about writing and reading, when you're talking about the refinement of speech, when you talk about grammar or the dialectic, or if you're talking about concepts of astronomy or music.
The people from the Nile Valley were the very first people to develop a concept of time. Time is a concept that sprang from the minds of African people. They were the first people to divide the day into 24 hours. They were the first people to develop the calendar, 365 and a quarter days. They were the first people to build with stone. They were the first people to develop systems of education, the first universities. The first, they invented writing. They invented paper. They developed libraries. They were the first physicians, the first psychologists, the first dentists, the first brain surgeons. They were the first governors, the first rulers, the first men and women to orient structures to celestial bodies in order to harness the spiritual energy that's generated within a structure that is properly aligned to celestial spheres. So in other words, they were human beings who knew how to manifest the power of God on earth.
You're quite hostile.
I got a right to be hostile, man. My people been perfect.
I'm violent. In the face of the violence that we've been experiencing for the past 400 years, is actually doing our people a disservice. In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
Get a stick, get a stick, get a stick around, boy, get a joint, put the boot down, go, get to the roof,
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the Melanated Roots Radio Show. And brought to you by the Black Talk Radio Network. Today is January 22nd, 2018. Like Brother Gus T. Renegade said, so I have been told. And we have a live show for you this evening. Your host for the show is Brother Tommy and Brother Rio. And our topic today is we're going to continue to deal with the book Ancient Future by Wayne B. Chandler, which goes over the teachings and prophetic wisdom of the seven hermetic laws of ancient Kemet. So, but that's going to be in the second hour is where we're going to pick back up on the different axioms and get as much truth out of that we can so that we can continue to move forward and grow as spirits, which is what we really truly are. Also, the first hour where Brother Rio has identified some really good articles, and we're going to also allow that time to kind of speak about a lot of current events and allow it to go where it goes. We ask that the audience, the family, if there is something that existed this week that was important that you feel needs to be brought up and shared on the show this evening, definitely with any time within that first hour, put that call in. And we're going to go ahead and keep it moving like that from there. So Ancient Future, starting with the second principle correspondence and for the second hour, and then open comments and conversation and topic for the first hour with some great information being led by Brother Rio. If you would like to ask a question or share some information on this topic, please call 866-510-9025. 866-510-9025. Also, we ask that you please join the BTR community. It is a way for you to share information with conscious brothers and sisters. There's great articles and information there, and also it could be a great portal of communication for us as a people, and you don't have to deal with everything you have to deal with on the other social media sites. So that's $24 per year, so we ask that you guys come on over. So remember, Black Talk Radio Network website is www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Go on there at any time. All the podcasts are there, all the different shows, people who are on the network. Brother Rio, what's going down?
What's going on, brothers? How's everybody doing? Hope the family's doing well today. I found ourselves on another Monday in the middle of January, towards the end. But, you know, we're going to keep moving. Like you said, time keeps on moving. I may not know exactly what time it is, but I know as long as it keeps moving, I'm all right.
Yes, sir.
How you feeling today, brother?
Oh, I'm feeling real good. Really looking forward to having a really good show. Great conversation with the family. You know what I'm saying? You know, brothers, we connect with on a consistent basis. You know, so definitely interested in hearing about things that they definitely want to talk about, discuss different events that has occurred, and getting just building as a community, brother, and as a family, because like my dad always say, two heads is better than one, even if one is a goat head. You know, that was his little jab at me, but but you know, our minds coming together is really what I look forward to. So I feel we're gonna have a powerful show, brother.
I concur, especially with you having a goat head. I'm just playing. But, yeah, we always have, powerful conversations on this Monday. It's going to be no different. So your comments, questions, or anything you'd like to contribute to the conversation is more than welcome. Even, different points, perspectives, and downright disagreements. It's all right. We are family here. Mm-hmm. We can agree to disagree. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to get it in. We're going to start off by kind of, reviewing or kind of hitting on a topic, which I guess people have to go back in the archives, way back in the archives. This might have been one of our first shows, Brother Tommy, mm-hmm. When we were discussing the different parameters of heterosexual versus homosexual tendencies, mm-hmm. and how modern day oppressors have kind of blurred that line. Mm-hmm. So it's not as easy just to you know, before or against, because it can no longer truly be considered 100% anyway, a choice or a lifestyle choice. Mm-hmm. I know I used to, my younger days, I used to go hard. You know, it's a choice. You can choose not to be that way, or, you know, you just got to deny yourself or things of that nature. But, you know, with wisdom and research, I've come across findings and, you know, admissions that the oppressors have been manipulating genes and, you know, they've been putting everybody in a situation to where you may not have control over your own desires and sexual urges, based on the terraforming that they're doing with the food and the overall programming from society and you know, out and out gene manipulation. It may be beyond your control at this particular time to not experience those tendencies that most people will frown upon if you are victimized by that situation. What are your thoughts, brother? Do you remember, you have any recollection of that show?
Yeah, I remember it very well. And we did the best we could on it, but there was a lot of information we could have bring to the table. And I think this kind of really is going to do it. But I see, I know exactly what you're saying. I was just like you, you know, I was real rah, rah, you know, about homosexuality in terms of, you know, what, how I felt it was devastating towards a particular community, and also how it is people are being acculturated, you know, in culture to have certain thoughts and feelings. But also with what you were saying in terms of now you start to take into in consideration the chemicals in the environment, the chemicals in the food. We talked about the study the brother did with the frogs, where the herbicides were causing sex change in the frogs and mutations in their sex organs. So what you're saying in terms of them not necessarily always nowadays, we have to reconsider it the way we used to, it just being 100% a choice. Now, I make it clear at all times that I don't go against anyone because of how they choose to practice their sexuality. But I do make it clear that there is a natural way to continue the cycle of life, and there's unnatural physical fetishes that come in and try to stop that or thwart that. So I am 100% with the natural aspect of nature to be able to continue to manifest progeny moving forward. This is the way nature created it, and this is the way it should be. But if you choose to live this life, or if you're compelled to live this lifestyle, then, you know, then you have to live it. That's your choice. That's your walk. You have to live it. But I'm still going to be honest about my understanding in with the when it comes to the principles of nature. Go ahead, Brother Rio. How you feel about that? You feel me?
Well, very well stated statement, and I think it echoes the sentiments of a lot of people in our generation and older. However, what hot is cut is dry. Cut and dry, as you just eloquently put. The lines are becoming blurred, and I think that will become
Brother Rio, do me a favor while we chatting it up. Call in, brother. Call in.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, right, yeah. Because what you come, but keep talking though. But because what you coming with so heavy, and when that little lag comes in or that break, I can't have that, because the family want to hear it good and clean. And what you coming with is definitely going to be that starter for that conversation.
Yes, sir. I'm calling in right now, brother. Just be a second.
Yeah, but now we can hear you very clearly.
Okay. Well, what I was saying was that, you know, the lines are becoming blurred. So it's not cut and dry
as you and I would.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Okay. All right, Brother Rio. I heard you a minute ago.
Hold on, brother. Can I be heard?
Yeah, okay. Now let me put you on pause on this other one. Go ahead, brother. Yes, sir.
All right. What I was saying was, you know, right now we have to put ourselves in a position to teach and kind of give a heads up to the younger generation, because they're dealing with totally different scenarios than what you just illustrated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I vibe with you 100% about this is the way that nature made it. This is the way things are supposed to be. But the truth is, that is not going to be the reality for the next generation, period. And I was thinking that, you know, they were going to have to deal with it. But at the rate that it's happening, we going to have to deal with it, because it's coming, buddy, and it's coming fast.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, any thoughts on that, brother? Or
yeah, no. Let me say one more thing. I do see the rate at which things are changing, and it is coming. It is happening almost damn near exponentially. You know, if you really look at it, these is exponents to the 10th power. It's not just one multiplication. So, and yeah, I see the direction which is going. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. I'm gonna ride with you.
All right. Well, keep an eye on the boards, brother, because I'm switching back and forth between articles, so I may not see anybody's hands up or okay. If they have a question okay. or comment.
All right.
So just keep an eye on that.
Yes, sir.
As I was saying, you know, we know the way in which nature has ordered things. Of course, you know, you have a male principle and you have a female principle, which is embodied in what we term as men and what we term as women.
Yes, sir.
When those women and men get together to procreate, they have individualized and specific roles, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the way that the order of things in which things are put. And, you know, what it said, you know, when it says that, excuse the language, but, you know, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. But this is exactly what we have going on today. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to go ahead and jump into it. I'm going to read some articles so that people can have some background information, and we're just going to have a discussion about it. All right?
Yes, sir.
So this first article is coming from the few years ago, to 2015, and the title of it is Just Add Sperm. Breakthrough could let us make babies without an egg. This comes from futurism.com by that title. So all you have to do is Google that, and it'll pop right up for you, and you can peruse it, read it, and do further research. Here's a synopsis of the article. In brief, new research into the possibility of eggless fertilization in mammals has shown promise, with scientists being able to grow mice from modified embryos, a feat previously believed to be possible only for some vertebrate species. Introducing the mammalian parthenogenate. The first mammals were produced without a fertilized egg. However, before you get too overly excited, neither were they produced with just the sperm. Instead, researchers from the University of Bath used a substitute for the fertilized egg, a modified inactive mouse embryo, or parthenogenite. Essentially, the parthenogenic embryo is an egg that was tricked into becoming an embryo without prior fertilization. It's not the first time this was done. Previous attempts, however, led to the embryo dying after just a few days. The Bath researchers managed to keep the parthenogenic embryo alive by bathing mouse eggs with a salt called strontium chloride. It's a chemical compound that prevents parthenogenic embryos from going into a state of arrest, as previously discovered. Basically, the team took mouse eggs and they used chemicals in order to trick them into developing. For the egg to be tricked into initiating parthenogenic development, one has to remove the activity that keeps it arrested in the meiotic cell cycle. And that, in effect, is what the strontium chloride does, Tony Perry, lead researcher, explained. The resulting parthenogenite was injected with mouse sperm nuclei, initiating fertilization, and then the researchers worked on planting these into surrogates. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The parthenogenic mice were able to grow normally and even reproduce, having regularly conceived baby mice of their own. The researchers are not quite sure how the sperm genome was programmed in these cases, which is an area for further studies. While there is no evidence that suggests the same thing can apply to human embryos yet, the researchers believe that it is very likely to that end. It will take some years of study, but it will ultimately mean that one day men and women may become capable of self-fertilization. We could also use these methods to save species that are on the brink of extinction. What do you think about that, Brother Tommy?
Yeah, like you said, the lines are going to continue to get more blurred in terms of sexuality. The agenda is folding deeper as we continue to move forward. And right. And like now, you said, the terraforming that's going on.
Go ahead, brother.
No, like you said, the terraforming that's going on. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. Now, this took place, this article is from 2015. And, of course, they were, espousing that they were going to use this for couples that were having difficulties conceiving mm-hmm. and having babies. Mm-hmm. But, of course, there's always another plot because, as they mentioned in there, it's going to give rise to either species, either sex, being able to have babies. So let's fast forward. This is an article from 2016. Pregnancy without men. New research lets us make babies from skin cells. Mm. Scientists have successfully proven that sex cells can be created by reprogramming any kind of cell, leading to a number of new collection possibilities in the field of fertility. Mm. This new possibility involves some common ethical concerns, of course, but it also introduces some new concerns. Scientists are tackling these issues head on, even in the earliest stages of development. Policy changes are imminent. Could babies one day be made with skin cells? As far-fetched as this idea seems, it's a possibility that scientists are now exploring after they successfully produced healthy mice using a process called in vitro gametogenesis. This is a revolutionary method involving embryonic stem cells that are pre-programmed to become viable sex cells. Mm. So they're taking stem cells and they're reprogramming these stem cells, or they're programming these stem cells to become viable sex cells. In the mouse experiment, scientists made early stage mouse eggs from stem cells and grew them in the lab. Once the eggs matured, they fertilized them with mouse sperm and demonstrated that they could also be successfully implanted into a surrogate female mouse. Mm. It's important to note that the technology is still in its infancy. Creating eggs from skin cells is a possibility, but at this point, there is still some work to be done before it is truly viable in humans. The success of the mouse model, however, illustrates the opportunities that this technique could offer.
So humans can have babies without men. So being able to independently, through reprogramming these cells, whatever type of cells, into a sex cell, now a male could have a child or a female could have a child without either sex being present. Is that what you're saying, brother?
In a nutshell, brother. For example, it says collecting skin cells from patients undergoing chemotherapy means scientists can turn them into healthy eggs or sperm. I'm going to say that again. For example, collecting skin cells from patients undergoing chemotherapy means scientists can turn them into healthy eggs or sperm in case they become infertile as a result of treatment. Now, it's not specifying that the skin cells have to be taken from a woman to be made into an egg, or from a man to be made into a sperm. Mm-hmm. All they need is skin cells, period.
Okay.
In short.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Go ahead, brother.
I was going to let you know some brothers get ready to bring in some information.
Okay. Well, let me finish this one up real quick.
Okay.
In short, the technique could render egg donors obsolete. Mm. From donor banks, they can go the way of the dodo. For couples undergoing fertility treatments, they no longer have to choose from just a handful of viable embryos. They could potentially select from a bigger pool. It also makes the biological process of conceiving more democratic. Mob rule. Pick your own genetics. Theoretically, the method can be used to produce egg cells from male skin cells, making it possible for a baby to be created from same-sex couples.
Mm.
What do you think about that, brother?
Wow. Are you ready? I'm going to go to Brother Thomas. What's up, Brother Thomas?
Peace. What's good, family? How y'all doing today?
Doing good. What's up with you, bro?
Oh, good. Good to hear from you, Brother Thomas. Good to hear from you.
What you think about what he was reading? What you think?
I have a few comments on what y'all read. First thing is, man, y'all said women could have babies without a man now, right? Mm-hmm. So white people have created ISIS. Women giving birth without the men. Nothing new to us, but, you know, I mean, they finally gotten to that level. So that's a breakthrough for them. Mm-hmm. I work at the hospital. Hospital of the Future, we had this pamphlet go around, and it had a couple of layouts of the hospital room of the future. When they got to the maternity, they had one picture with the woman in the bed and the man standing next to her, and the baby was in this like fishbowl. And they were waiting for like the doctor to drain the water out the fishbowl, and the baby was all smiling, just swimming around in the water, not in the woman next to her.
And in the fishbowl.
They had that same layout, and it was two men. So I just thought that was very interesting. You guys, I'm glad you mentioned the brother. The man, Gus T. Renegade. He always says that we're victims. And due to this chemical warfare, I think it's safe to say that these brothers that are gay now are victims. They don't know any better. This is something totally different than when I grew up, and I'm sure you brothers. We had one gay guy on the block. He could fight, too, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you ain't want to call him out his name.
You're right.
You ain't want to get beat up by him.
Right.
But either way, yeah.
Just didn't have nobody to be gay with back then.
Huh?
I said he didn't have many options to be gay with back then, because I can agree with you. There was one or two.
He had to fight every day.
Yeah.
He had to fight every day, so he got good at it. You know what I'm saying? But either way, I get on the train now, and it's like, wow. These kids are in grammar school. They're already holding hands. I see it even more prevalent with the young women than the young men. Young girls have already decided they no longer want to dress like what the archetype of what a female dress is like. They want to present themselves like men at a very young age. So it's a total, and I blame the food. I blame the system of white supremacy. Mm-hmm. Entertainment, it's been pushed. They've been pushing this to us since the 80s. If you look at the earliest pictures of the hip-hop artists, I mean, they look like a Fruity Loop.
Yeah.
Like looking Melly Mel in them. You know, it's like, man, what is this? The Village people?
Yeah.
I mean, and then you look at Prince and Michael. And then I think that when hip-hop got more conscious, and they started becoming more African-centric, African-centrified, the archetype of the male became the alpha male, and it got even went into the gangster rap, Public Enemy to the gangster rap, where, you know, you wanted to look hard, you know what I'm saying? You didn't want to look effeminate.
Right.
You know, that you didn't want to wear tight jeans, and that was like, ooh. what's wrong with you, you gay? You know, you didn't want to get that label.
Right.
So, even to the thug, you know, Tupac's image, even though he had the shirt off, the pants hanging, but it was that alpha male image, mm-hmm. and they've totally taken that away.
Yeah.
Now these rappers are all designer clothes wearing, and it's being pushed to us through the fashion, through Hollywood and politics. Let's not forget Obama was the first gay president, and he opened up the door to a lot of things. The last thing I wanted to add on this was mm-hmm. this gay movement, like all of our movements. We see how since the hashtag movement started, how white people have jumped on that and now have taken those over. So they're going to use the gay blacks. You see it in television, like I said, entertainment, Hollywood, but they're going to use them to get to a certain point, and then they're going to take over that movement. But they're going to push them like they're going to make us seem like we're anti-gay. You see they're going at Ginuwine for pushing a transvestite away from him. They made right. The guy from the Migos have to apologize for saying queer in his rap. Like, you can't even say the words. It's so now they're going to make the black male that's straight seem like he's the problem. And that's going to be the push for the white gay movement. I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Yes, sir, Brother Thomas. Hey, Brother Real, he kicked some really heavy information in that. You got something to add to that before I go to Brother Roz?
I believe that the black male is going to be or is the problem or the enemy, especially from our generation. So I believe that, you know, you're going to have a further divide. You're going to see more social campaigns that are going to try to create a further gap between our generation and the younger generation, mm-hmm. At least the conscious black people in our generation, because you know as well as I do, you know, we got people as old or older than us,
right,
running around with their pants sagging down, you know, trying to act like these young kids, you know. So, you know, they are already lost in the mix, but you know, the few of us, and I think a good example of that is the labeling of BIE. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the people, they're starting to label the people in the conscious community, you know, and I think they're going to feel more pressure so that younger generations, you know, again, just like back in slavery, you know, they can't really relate to the things that we grew up with, that we're trying to teach them. All they see is those guys are being persecuted for something. I have no idea what they're talking about. I just know I don't want to end up like that.
Yes, sir.
So they saying go right. I think I'm going to slide over here to the left because it's a lot easier. It's more popular. It's trendy. You know, just like, you know, I had some conversation with some guys, young guys, you know, why you're wearing your pants down like that? You know, it can't be comfortable. I mean, if you get in trouble out there, you can't run. I mean, what's going on? And they just like, hey, man, it's what the girls like. You know, we don't dress like this. We ain't getting no play. And yep. I can understand that. They ain't saying it's right, but I can understand that. Right. So, you know, it's a circular problem. But I digress.
I feel you. I feel you.
I yield the floor to Brother Roz.
What's up, Brother Roz?
Peace and love. Greetings to both of you, Brother Rio, Brother
yes,
Tommy,
sir.
And
yes,
to my big brother Thomas as well, or should I say Thomos?
Yeah, you see how Thomas just dropped?
Oh, he dropped off?
No, I said, you see how he dropped that information? What he came with was heavy.
Oh, yeah, son of Ty, for sure. And he dropped some stuff, man. He said some really interesting things as well as you all. You brought up a lot of things for me. Great show so far, and I know it's going to be dynamic as we move forward. That whole thing you read about them taking skin cells from chemo patients, that sounds to me like the Henrietta Lacks scenario, where they're taking these people's
yes,
cells
sir.
Without them knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, you know, that like this is something that's being done in a clandestine manner. And I want to see what else they come with, because they're going to probably end up finding other people, especially black folks, with immortal cells
mm-hmm.
that they can also call and use to do, you know, create other vaccinations and different cures for illnesses like they did with the sister Henrietta Lacks as well. So that's something we got to keep an eye on. Also, they had an article last year about a three-parent baby, and they were all males.
Yes, sir.
Where they took they took cells from them. So now you don't have to actually have a female to have a child. And then also last year, I don't know if you peeped this too, but they said the first Petri dish baby turned like 20 or 21. This was a white girl where they took an embryo from her parents, kept it in cryogenesis. They had it frozen for a number of years. They thawed it out and were able to make a viable white female child that had just turned 20 or 21 last year. So this started a while ago with as far as the stuff that they're into. And this is all to prevent their genetic annihilation. This, all of this stuff that we're seeing, all of these, now, that, as a matter of fact, just a few months ago, they had the sheet that they made in a bag. I don't know if you saw that article. They had it in like an incubating chamber in a plastic, like, simulation of a womb external, so you could see the growth of the lamb in this bag. And they actually brought forth a living sheep from this bag they grew it in. It wasn't developed in the mother in the ewe. It was developed in the science lab. So these are all things to prevent their genetic annihilation. For me, as far Brother as I'm Rod. Thinking about it, go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. On that point that you're saying right there, them creating a sheep in just a bag. Yeah. Have you seen the previews for the new Rock movie that's coming out?
No, Thomas has sent me a clip for it, and I didn't get to watch it yet, but I was planning to. I was salivating. But just tell me, please, real quick.
Yeah, expand on it. What you talking about?
It's called Rampage, and when you see it, you're going to connect it to what you just said, and it's going to blow your mind. You're going to be like, oh, whoa.
Now, you know what's really it's really interesting because what this does, because like Thomas said, they really started this this infusion of this anti-sexual culture decades ago in the beginning of hip-hop with disco. Then, of course, you had in 71, they changed the DSM to say that homosexuality was no longer a mental illness. Right. It was a viable sexual choice at that point. And that's what facilitated everything up until where we are now. So this was something that started a while ago. And they have been trying to condition us, especially black folks, towards this for a very, very long time, because it's just not in our cultural makeup. And you know, like, you do have some non-white groups that have also been known to practice homosexuality. If you study the history of samurais, they also had a culture where they would sleep with men, and in some cases even practice pedophilia and sleep with little boys. So this is something that we have found in certain non-white groups, but black people, that hasn't been our historical reality until we encountered these Arabs and these white folks. And to me, it just says they're gonna infect everyone with all of these different forms of genocide, like you said, through the food, through the chemtrails. Also, remember the article I sent you, Tommy, a couple weeks ago about the fact that they found that it's a fact by studying twins, where they had one gay twin and one non-gay twin, that people are being epigenetically changed to become homosexual. So in other words, they're seeing that in the father's sperm, that he might have impregnated a female with twin males, and one male comes out epigenetically unchanged as a heterosexual. And then when they studied the genes of the twin that was homosexual, they found that there was an epigenetic change in his genes, in the father's DNA, that facilitated the other twin being gay. And they studied over 400 different families. So I talked about that before, and it kind of lends me back to what I said, matter of fact, last year as well, about what they were doing with elephants. The fact that they have been murdering so many elephants for their ivory, that now the elephants are epigenetically predisposed to be born without tusks.
Yeah.
And scientists are saying eventually there will be no African elephants born with tusks, because that seems to be the linchpin in them living to a ripe old age. I was saying the same thing about black people. I said that we are being epigenetically changed to accept our position in the system of white supremacy, being emasculated and completely unmanned. And that it's going to show up also in a lot more of us being homosexual, in addition to the chemicals and all the other stuff they're doing to us. just because it seems like those that is the safest way to exist as a male. Even when you go for jobs, I remember Neely Fuller talked about this, how the only black males when he was working that were getting promotions were homosexual males.
Yeah,
none of the black males who expressed of true masculine nature ever got promoted.
And Brother Roz, Brother Roz, let me add on top of that, because what you just said was very important. Also, Brother Professor Smalls was also saying that if you look across the country at these universities, and when it comes to the black studies or the African-American studies or the program that is designed to deal with the small minority or so-called minority or black population on campus, that those are all being ran mostly by homosexual men and people or homosexuals, period. So, like you said, they're making a special place for them for this push in society, and that are advancing them above different people across the scale. Go ahead, brother. I just wanted to step into that.
Absolutely. And it's something I personally experienced too, because at the job I was at before my current one, all of the black supervisors, and there weren't many, but they were all gay. Female, gay males, like they would just promote them very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I remember he also talked, Neely Fuller talked about Little Richard and the fact that he was told by his mother and his aunt that he needs to be as effeminate as possible in order to really blow up as an artist. They said the more female you look and behave, the bigger your career will be. And he took their advice, and as a result, he became the Little Richard everybody knows.
Wow.
So even his mother knew, like, hey, you know, you emasculate yourself. You're already, you know, homosexual, but if you take it to the stratosphere with the straight hair and the long nails and, you know, the manicures and the screaming all loud like he does, all of that stuff, his mother and his aunt gave him that admonition. He followed it, and everybody around the world knows who he is today.
Right.
So, this is something where we've been acculturated for a long time. I mean, we're in the culture now, like you said. I would say Generation X is the last group who knew things the old way before today's way, because now you have these songs, you know, our young people are eating booties like groceries, pause, but that's what they're doing. Like, this is the type of stuff they listen to.
Yeah.
It's normalized to them.
Yes,
you know, to see Young Thug wearing a parasol and a dress is normal. So the lines have been completely blurred in regards to just gender roles and an understanding of gender roles. And because we don't have rites of passage of our own, we can't even instill that in them. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you look at the Jewish community, yeah, they have homosexuals in their community, but they don't have homosexual rites of passage. All of their rites of passage are male and female. You have a bat mitzvah if you're female and a bar mitzvah if you're male.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in their culture, they're keeping it, the gender roles, correct, and then they're saying if you choose to be a gay Jew, then cool, you know, you come to the synagogue. If that synagogue accepts that, and you're good to go. If your synagogue doesn't, then you know you're gonna have problems going to that particular synagogue.
Right.
But the bottom line is, when you look at their rites of passage, there are no confusions in the gender role. We don't even have rites of passage for the most part here, and a lot of the times our rites of passage are usually hood. So it consists of going through, you know, jail and all of that stuff. Like Tupac used to say, you know, he thought going to jail was cool. He's like, he thought that it was a rite of passage. Like, yeah, all my people went to jail, I'm going to go to jail too.
Right.
You know, that's how he thought when he was young.
Yeah.
You know, so it's something where they're just acculturating us. And I remember Neely Fuller said this last year, and it seems like it's becoming more and more true with every passing 24 hours. He said the white male man's anus is going to be the new black female vagina.
Mm.
And that's what we're seeing happening right now, you know. And then you go on TV and it's you know, all these so-called bi-ethnic or so-called mixed race groups, whether it's a black, and it's always a black female with a white male, you know, and they're showing black males with white females, and they're looking all happy, like the happiest they ever been was with this white person.
Right.
And in every other situation where you see a black male and female together, they're arguing. It's a baby mama drama or a baby daddy drama. It's just always something going on. And if the people do get along and they're black and in a relationship, they're elderly. Like, oh, that's old school to have a black man and woman together in a viable relationship. That's how it's a visual, but it's telling you that's old school. That's the old way to do things. You got to get yourself a white man. Or you got to get yourself a white woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And whether it's, you know, a gay situation or heterosexual, bottom line is you need a whitey to feel like you're a full human being expressing yourself in that kind of a way.
Yes, sir.
And I thought about what Thomas talked about as far as the alpha male image that has now been completely demolished after going through the different stages of the development of hip hop culture.
Yeah.
And I just thought about it. You know, if you think about it, the alpha male image that we were emulating was a white alpha male image. That image that Pac and all of them put forward was the image that white men showed us that we indulged in and thought was the real alpha male image.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the alpha males that white people put in front of us were all homos. Rock Hudson, John Wayne, you know,
yeah.
All of these people were homosexuals, but yet we thought that their version of masculinity, packing a gun, shooting somebody, you know, for disrespecting, all of that, we thinking it's authentic masculinity when
it ain't.
Of these guys were actually anti-sexual and they were propagating what has been put forward as the propaganda, or like you would say, the symbol of what a masculine man is.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't an African-centered version of a masculine man. All of the African men that I've been around, when they exhibit their masculinity, it is not in the way that I see it exhibited in the West. It doesn't mean they can't get down like that if they don't have to, if they have to, because I've seen them do that too.
Right.
But the idea is that there's a calm reserve to the way that we carry ourselves. In white culture, it's boisterous. It's look at me. It's why are you looking at me? Or look at me because I'm this big, bad kind of a dude. Like that, it's a totally different mindset.
And then road rage, road rage.
Go ahead.
Road rage. That's a perfect example of the white culture.
Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And even if you look at the new masculine image, it's also a white image because it's white men who are homoerotic and homosexual and pedophilic. So even when you see Young Thug wearing a parasol, that's Marv Albert. Remember that?
Yeah.
He was wearing a woman's lingerie. He bit the heck out of the female. She had bite marks on her.
Yeah.
And it was a big scandal. He was kicked off of NBC. And two years later, he got his job back.
Well,
so seeing Young Thug in a parasol is just a redux of Marv Albert. The difference is Young Thug didn't rape anybody like Marv Albert. And now it's accepted.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me. I think if you look at a lot of Brother Walamu Baruti's writings, you know what I'm saying? You're really dealing with people who are really addicted to the flesh, you know, and it's an addiction and a perversion, and it is expressed throughout the culture, and it is basically allowing a lot of mind control to take place as well. But I feel you, Brother Ross.
And lastly, I just wanted to say too, yes, the historical narrative, the symbolist narrative, is that black people are the most homophobic people in the world. So now that you have so many more black females, like Thomas in New York was saying, being indoctrinated into this anti-sexual lifestyle now, it's going to create a rift with other black males. Then you also have the black males that also are gay because they're being, you know, epigenetically changed, and they're going getting all these chemicals and things that are changing them that they're not aware of, just like some of these sisters too.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it further distances us from each other, not just in actuality, so we're not co-creating, but also in ideology, because now I'm seeing more where you have these gay black males and females that are putting their gayness before their blackness.
Yes, sir.
So in their minds, they're more aligned with white gay women, Asian gay women, so-called Latino gay women, and other black gay women than they are with black people. And that's what you're seeing with the Black Lives Matter movement. If you just read their website, it's all about the subjugation of black males and the expression of anti-sexual culture amongst black people. So there it creates more layers of confusion for us and more issues between all of us, not just here, but globally.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's going to be major what we see coming down the road, but it's just going to intensify. And I wanted to also just drop something because we're seeing it and we're living it right now. This is just a brief section of King Leopold's letter to his missionaries. It says, "Your action will be directed essentially to the younger ones, for they won't revolt when recommendation of the priest is contradictory to their parents' teaching. The children have to learn to obey what the missionary recommends, who is the father of their soul. You must singularly insist on their total submission and obedience. Avoid developing the spirit in the school. Teach students to read and not to reason." We're seeing that right now with how these young brothers and sisters are just completely confused. They don't even know what a gender role is or can even conceive of it. And then the music that they listen to daily reinforces that reality for them. So they've tainted the young ones like they've always planned to do. And now it's to the point where it's a self-fulfilling prophecy if we don't get a handle on this like yesterday. That's all I wanted to say, brothers.
Yes,
I'm sorry if
yes,
I took too long, but y'all was dropping too much,
yeah,
man. I'll mute my line and I'll go in the background, brother.
Yes, sir, Brother Roz. I appreciate that knowledge and information, brother. That was good information, Brother Mario. We about to go to Brother Mel. You got something to say before we go to Brother Mel?
Yes, sir. I wanted to highlight and emphasize the one point that Brother Roz brought out that we really didn't hit that much on was the fact that a child can now, due to these manipulations and being able to accumulate different samples just from skin, a child can genetically have three parents or more genetically inbred into it. So now you're seeing a rise again of of anonymous donors, because if you can get it from skin cells of a chemotherapy, you know, patient, then imagine all the bodies that are moving in and out of the morgue or in and out of the hospital, period, or going to donate blood or plasma or just going for a checkup.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the donor situation could be endless, and we know that they're struggling because their birth rate is negative.
Very
so
low.
Now they may be infusing themselves with DNA appropriated from melanated people without their consent for, again, their own survival. But, you know, there's psychosis. Hey, man, y'all in trouble? Ask for help. But they continue to oppress and follow their own agenda. I just wanted to highlight that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll listen to Brother Mel, and then, you know, I'll bring it on home.
We're going to go to
M. You got for us, Brother
Mel? We're going to go to MHDC after that. MHDC, we're coming to you after Brother Mel. What's up, Brother Mel?
Peace, peace, brothers.
Peace, peace.
Greetings, greetings.
You're having a great show as always. Peace, Brother Roz, Brother Thomas, to all the family.
Greetings.
If you heard about the cortical stack sleeves.
What? Say that
the
again, brother.
Stack.
Cortical stack, S-T-A-C-K, sleeves.
Go on, drop it.
No, I haven't.
Like, bring us up to speed, Brother Mel.
Cortical, the cortical stack sleeve is basically, it's a human personality that can be stored digitally and downloaded into a what they call a sleeve. And most people have cortical stacks in their spinal column that store their memories. And if the body dies, then the stack can just be stored indefinitely and moved to another sleeve. And they're using these, look this stuff, Google this. It's C-O-R-T-I-C-A-L, cortical stack sleeves. And if you Google, when y'all was talking about, when Ross was talking about the sheep in the bag, me and Brother Thomas was talking, and we seen this, Netflix had like a concept booth in Vegas, and they showed this full-grown man with, and these sleeves are made of human tissue. And they had him in a bag, and it was simulating a placenta. It was an artificial placenta. You could see the moisture in it. They was respirating him and everything. It was wicked, man. Check that out. And they trying to, that's going to be their way to try to be immortal. Cortical stack sleeves, man. Check that out.
Wow.
I just wanted to add that to conversation.
Well, I appreciate that, Brother Mel. Dang, what you think, brother? Brother Rio, on that? Dang, somebody gonna have to drop have to bring some more information about that. Goodness.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely have to look that up.
Brother Imhan DC, what's happening, man?
Yes, sir. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. You can be heard.
Yes, you most certainly can.
Yes.
Greetings, brother.
Yes, sir.
Greetings. I was gonna say, I've noticed that with the homosexuality situation, for the black men, I feel like aside from completely ending white supremacy, white people are the problem, but aside from ending white supremacy, if black men had control over land, a piece of land, and a structure on top of the land, then they, in my opinion, would not be homosexual. If they have the ability to to shelter a woman, then there's not a reason to engage in sexual activity with another man. And then even if there's, you know, a lot of other influences around trying to get black men to be homosexual. And then for the women, if we take them out of college, then that homosexual thing will die down a lot. A lot of that intersectionality or some stuff that they're studying. There's like a whole lot of interesting terms that don't mean much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I heard a lot of the terms from my sister going to college and getting confused.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing is religion. Aside from ending white supremacy completely, if we were to, again, if we are to attack religion, that a lot of women are doing the homosexuality thing as a rebellion to the religions. A lot of times they don't feel like, I've noticed they don't feel like they're being treated correctly in the biblical scriptures or texts.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the black men, these pastors are gay. These black pastors, I'm a musician, so I've been around a lot of the pastors, and these are homosexual males. And so, you know, and what the reason why they're homosexual is because, you know, they've decided they're going to lie about Christianity. They're going to, if they're already going to lie and, you know, mislead people, then everything else is also good for them to do, you know, because it's just, they're just going to keep the secret. And there's, you know, so attack Christianity, the man won't be homosexual anymore.
Well, brother M.I.D., so you're saying the first thing, your point was very interesting. So you're saying having a piece of land, which I you know, I always talk about the importance of having land. So I'm riding with you 100% on that, and having a structure on top of it and controlling both of those, which I feel is the foundation. You know, that's the reason why I believe most black folk are unstable up and down in this economy and being affected by the economy because of those two things you just noticed, not having land which they control and a structure on top of it. But are you saying those two things can negate chemtrails, what's going on in the water, the herbicides? Is that what you're telling me, brother?
I'm saying that no, it won't negate the urges. You may have an urge to, you know, to do something because a certain part of your body is feeling a certain way. Now, that's one thing. But the other thing is, there's nothing better than a woman. Like, there's no way that you can replace a woman. There's nothing better. And if you have the opportunity to be with the woman, you're going to be with the woman, even if you have some type of other type of urge.
Okay.
I'm just saying, mm-hmm. you're going to be with a woman. If a woman will give you the opportunity, you'll do it.
Understood.
Well, I tell you, brother, I'll tell you what. Hold on to that thought and let me get through this next article, and then we're going to come back to you. Let me hear your thoughts. Cool?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay. All right. Brother Thomas, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, hold on, brother. Thomas got something quick he going to bring in, then we're going to go right to you, brother Rio. Go ahead, brother Thomas.
I'm going to be real quick. Real quick. Go for it. Did y'all see the Rhesus Gorilla?
Say that.
7 foot Rhesus Gorilla in the movie. Yeah. In the Rampage joint. Y'all didn't see that? They didn't go have a Rhesus monkey. They had a Rhesus Gorilla. Y'all didn't see that?
You talking about that the clip, the Rampage from the Rock
yeah.
movie.
They
yes,
had
sir.
A
That's what
gorilla.
I was just telling Brother
like,
Thomas about.
And he was created by The Rock, who's playing an African man. His last name's like Okoye. And then I think his wife or his partner that helps him is she's the black lady, Gabrielle something, but Beatrice or whatever, but she's African. I think she's from London. But either way, I'm like, man, if they're not telling me history, but either way, bro, that's all I wanted to say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. That's,
well, hold on. What was he talking about? I would clean that up for me, Rio. What was he talking about? They had what in the movie before we go to break?
There's a new star in The Rock, and another lady that he was mentioning. But the premise of the movie is that when he was younger, he found some wild ape that he was caring for, and he reconnected with that ape years later. But, you know, he's noticing that the ape is different. He's a lot larger. You know, he's exhibiting some different kind of characteristics than, you know, what he knew from this animal. And, you know, then all these other animals started popping up. And, you know, it became clear that someone was genetically experimenting on these animals, creating totally new breeds with new, you know, abilities.
Okay.
And it's wild, man. It's phenomenal.
Okay.
And, you know, just like Brother Roz was saying, you know, they're figuring out how to, it's genetic manipulation, man. I mean, all it is, plain and simple, is just genetic manipulation.
Figuring out a way about the
chupacabras, you know, running around. Ain't no telling how long they've been doing this, man.
Yeah.
So I think they've been splicing genes and connecting things, you know, for a while now. But, you know, once again, you know, I have the understanding that these are not original beings. So they had to get this concept, or they are working on technology that they have been researching from the ancients, because they just don't, they don't come up with this stuff on their own. They just, they don't have that capability.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that's just my own soapbox on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of cleared things up for you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I feel you. Okay. Well, Brother Rio, what we got to do is
Google it, man. You can probably Google it or punch it in on YouTube, or for the family. You know, the movie is called Rampage, starring The Rock, or you can just put in, you know, new Rock movies.
All right. I'm going
to
do
that. And it'll come right up, man. And you see the trailer, you know, you'll be able to make the connection.
Yeah. Okay, what we're going to do, Brother Rio, we're going to go to a quick commercial. We're going to come back, and we're going to deal with the second half of the show. It's going to be on Ancient Future, the teachings and prophetic wisdom of the seven Hermetic
Laws. I got a little
bit
more to bring home, though. Is that okay? We got enough time for that?
Oh, yeah. Let me slow it on down. Go ahead and push it on forward.
Oh, you want to do it after the break?
No, go ahead right now. We'll let you push down, and we'll do the break after that.
Okay. All right. Well, we've seen that a few years ago, you know, the scenario started off with creating embryos from animals outside of the womb. And now we've gone to, you know, creating motherless eggs or embryos, just combining sperm and eggs, and the donation of either one could be altered from skin cells or stem cells into an egg or a sperm to fertilize itself, so that you have a same gender baby. So a man can have, well, let me go into that. Basically, you know, so you don't have to have a father. A woman can have a baby on her own, and she can use a male skin, or she can use her own skin, or the skin of a partner, okay? So from there, this article came out last year, November 2017. And this is just to show you the agenda that they have and how they're further confusing things. Daddy can be mommy. Womb transplants could allow men to have babies tomorrow, claims it. Let me just let that sink in for a second. Daddy can now be mommies. Womb transplants could allow men to have babies tomorrow, claim experts. Richard Paulson, president of American Society for Reproductive Medicine, said 8 children have already been born to women having womb transplants. And he told a meeting in San Antonio, Texas, there's plenty of room to put a uterus in there in a man. Men and women have the same blood vessels. He said the next step would be trials involving transgender women to help them become natural mothers. That ain't nothing natural to me, brother, but, those aren't my words. Such ops or operations are not allowed in the UK, but earlier this year, UK academics called for a debate on whether transgender women should be considered for these new womb transplants. Liverpool University medical ethics lawyer, said new technology now makes it possible for them to have children of their own. Last night, critique said gender women may want to think of safer options first, such as using a surrogate. But, he added, it is hard to justify from the perspective of using NHS health resources or from the child's own perspective, resources that will go to women who are having difficulties bearing children and not to the transgender sections. Doctors hope to perform the first UK womb transplant in 2018. In 2014, a Swede gave birth after receiving a uterus from a living donor. A living donor. So, not certain, but it sounds to me like that could have been from maybe a hysterectomy. That's you're telling these women that their uteruses are no good. They're giving them hysterectomies. You know, saying, hey, better safe than sorry. Let's go ahead and take this out to make sure you don't get cancer.
Right, right.
And they're turning around and they're repurposing these uteruses.
Yeah, because they got an agenda.
Well, it says sex change men will soon be able to see the arrival of the first baby born to transgender mothers.
You went out with a big go back. Start that over.
Okay. Society should prepare itself for the near arrival of the first babies born to transgender mothers, one of the world's leading fertility specialists has said. The science is now available to allow women who began life as men to receive donated wombs and attempt to begin pregnancy as early as tomorrow, according to Dr. Richard Paulson, if you want to do further research on that. He's the president of the American Society for Reproductive Medicine. Dr. Paul said trans medicine had now become mainstream and that people who had undergone gender reassignment surgery would inevitably want to take advantage of this. They said that if wound transplantation for a natural woman becomes freely available, hospitals may also have to offer it to transgender women due to equality legislation. Transplanting a womb is, of course, complicated, but it has been done successfully in a small number of women. However, expertise is being developed at increasing numbers of centers. Dr. Paul said there was no anatomical reason why a womb could not successfully be implanted into a transgender woman. There would be additional challenges, but I don't see any obvious problems that would preclude it. I personally suspect that there are going to be trans women who are going to want to have a uterus and will likely get the transplant. While men and women have a different pelvis, he added, there would nevertheless be room for an implanted womb. In 2014, at least five babies have been born to women who had received wombs in a series of operations in Sweden. Other womb transplant programs are cropping up in Europe and in the UK. Doctors have been given permission by the regulator to begin their own charity-funded programs.
Scientist becomes the world's first pregnant man in order to test a drug he and a colleague have designed for expectant women. To carry out the trial, he has an embryo implant, believing that he will only carry the baby for 3 months, hardly expecting to face the prospect of giving birth. So they were telling us back then, 1994, exactly what they were trying, what they were going to end up doing right now. So
crazy?
Arnold Schwarzenegger is pregnant in the film and everything. His belly starts to swell and everything. And I'm like, well, where's the baby going to come out of? That's the only thing I thought throughout the film was, where's the baby supposed to come from?
And that's what I've been saying to Rio every time we have this conversation. What this baby supposed to slide out of now? That's what I'm, where's the canal going to be?
Oh,
again,
I mean,
it's telling you.
You guys are missing that. I mean, they're not only transplanting these wombs, they are transplanting, you know, the whole kit and caboodle, you know, the womb to the canal to the uterus
to
or the vagina,
like brother,
they're connecting all of that.
Like Brother Mel just
the
said, the consciousness
is that their hips may be the wrong proportion, so they may still have to have a cesarean section. because they don't know if the birth canal is going to be wide enough. It's there. They just don't know if it's going to be wide enough for the baby.
Wow. Hey, Brother Rio.
You know, it's really interesting.
Go ahead, Brother Ross.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, it's really interesting because what they're saying is white men have such little respect for women, they want to be them. They don't like them at all, but they want to be them at the same time. They want that ability to be the creator. Yeah. They want to be God.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that whole prospect is they've just literally turned everything completely upside down, and it's placed in it's now in a situation where, because even if you listen to gay people, one of my wife's close friends is homosexual,
mm-hmm.
and they've known each other for an extremely long period of time, even before I was in the picture. And he used to say certain things that there were things he wouldn't say around me because he knew I just wasn't down for that. He knew I didn't have a problem with him. I just wasn't trying to hear all of the stuff that homosexuals talk about because it's just so left field and just disgusting, some of it. I just don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But he had said a term one time, and he said mangina. And he talked about how gay men speak of their rectums as a mangina.
Mm.
And when they talk about intercourse, that is how they describe their rectums. So they're telling you that these people are so deviant that they will even verbally abuse the woman's sex organ, mm-hmm. by comparing their rectum to a vagina.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's so out of control, and it's in the language.
And Brother
Rob, like you said, they use the term natural.
Yeah.
But that situation with the lesbian. I sent Tommy, I believe it was, an article discussing the fact that in Britain they just made it legal that if a woman is going to be transgender, that before they change her sex organs and rip out all of her insides to make her a man, mm-hmm. that they have to save and cryogenically freeze her eggs legally in case she chooses to give birth down the road.
Yeah.
So what this is saying to me is they want to genetically pass on these traits to people who, well, white people, it's their culture, but to people who are epigenetically changed, they want them giving birth to more homosexuals. Because that's the only reason you would create a viable means for people who practice something unnatural, where in a natural setting they would not be able to pass those genes on,
mm-hmm.
to giving them legal sanction to say, yes, you can procreate at will and just keep making more and more deviant children.
Yeah.
So they're trying to repopulate the world, and what they're doing is recreating the world in a way in which they can still practice this anti-sexual behavior and still make babies down the road.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'll mute myself.
I feel you. Go ahead. Hold on, Brother Ross. Go ahead, Rio.
I just had a comment about what he was saying. I know me and you go back and forth about this a lot, but you know, that to me, that supports the agenda that we're dealing with, however you want to term it or however it came into being. We're dealing with artificially made beings. And for whatever reason, the normal means of procreation, which you alluded to earlier, nature is not a part of them. It is, you know, it's nature's way of correcting something that may not have any business being here in the first place. But you know, them being,
would it be here if that was the case?
Yeah, I mean, this is a world of possibility. If anything, if the all is in anything and the all is made up of everything,
exactly.
anything is possible.
Right.
Now, whether it's meant to stay here or can continuously exist on this realm, now we're talking about something different.
Yes, we are. Yes, sir, brother.
Which is, you know, I think the evidence, what we're seeing in their negative birth rate, but they still are endowed with a certain intelligence. And of course, they have the drive to want to sustain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we're seeing attempts of them holding on to what they perceive they are. And they're doing it by any means necessary. And since the normal or our natural, what we term as natural way of existing, procreating, and furthering our own lineage, it ain't working for them, nor will it ever work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to come up with a different way. And with their psychosis, they have to imprint that on the rest of the world. So they don't need a man and a woman in a traditional sense to be able to come together and procreate. That ain't working for them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can see it being in their psychosis where they're down and they're stepping right into an atypical type of being where, you know, gender is a thing of the past. Man, women, those are just labels. Right. We don't need those.
Well,
I want to have a child. I'm just going to have a child.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether I wanted to be with another person or not, I could just have one by myself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and not only that, they do have a historical record that shows that they have a great enmity towards the woman. You know, the woman was very much a burden in primitive European societies, and there was just no honor for her at all. And, you know, that is being, I think Brother M. Hadisi made reference to this, and he made an excellent point. That's being referenced in their biblical scriptures, this great a lack of recognition or any love or respect for the feminine energy that is the creator that brings forth all things. You look at their Trinity and she's not even present, you know, the Blessed Mother, right. So-called Blessed Mother isn't even there. So I feel
always
you.
Always been a liability.
Yeah, always been a liability to them in terms of their reverence for the white woman. But they have flipped that on us
because
we are now. That's all right, brother. I'm gonna be finished in a minute. We are now doing and treating our women and objectifying them the way and just breaking them down the way these European males were doing to their females. So, you know, we flipped the script to where we're doing what they do, but they do have a historical record of being, I mean, basically hating the woman. Let's just throw that word out there. Let's just go ahead and put hate out there. I know I use enmity, and that's a synonym. But let's go with one that's more recognized. Hate for their woman. They've shown that on the historical record.
Yes, sir. I feel what you're saying, and I'm in agreement. You know, he's always viewed his woman as being a liability because she hasn't seemingly been able to offer too much in the way of help, support, and you know the children that she bring forth. It, you know, either they're weak or they're sickly, but I mean, hell, she raises them to be weak and sickly and you know, they raise with a certain psychosis.
Brother Rio, Brother Rio, we got area code 702 with her hand up. I think that's Sister Ray. 702, area code 702.
Hello, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I'm sorry I'm driving.
That's okay.
But I really wanted to say, just referring back to the transgender topic. Mm-hmm. I was actually recently thinking about it because, of course, the whole Genuine thing. But
right.
And then also Mr. Scotty Reed, he recently had a guest on from the Gender Identity Accountability.
Yes.
And I just thought that it was definitely really important to, you know, to start educating ourselves because, and I'm not, of course, in any way advocating for any violence or anything like that against anyone who feels any type of way. But I feel like it's kind of different when you impose your reality onto somebody else. And I think I was actually thinking, you know, just as a female, because, you know, like there are supposed to be certain things or quote unquote benefits that females or women are supposed to have. I'm thinking, okay, so then that means that it's going to be even more benefits maldistributed to other females besides the ones who are, you know, already supposed to get them. So basically, if these are white men transitioning into white women, that just adds more white women to maldistribute these benefits to. So I was thinking about it also in that sense. And I mean, I think it's important. I know that sometimes you can't necessarily tell, like, if the person was actually born one way and then they decided to change another way, but I like I said, I definitely really appreciate it as far as the information about the uterus. And the thing that I keep thinking about is that because my sister, she recently had her baby, and I'm thinking, like, you can put, you know, a uterus into someone, but I thought it's also, you know, other things that go into account. I understand that you can, yes, give somebody more hormones, do all these type of things, but my sister, she actually breastfed her child. And that's still not something that, you know, a biological man would be able to do unless they're also working on that in conjunction. Because from my understanding, these are, you know, when they alter their bodies, some of the things are actually, of course, not, you know, it's artificial. Right. So I'm also thinking about it in is this going to actually go? Like I said, I always appreciate the show.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Well, you know, Red, in response to that statement you said, you know, back in the day, they had the nannies who were nursing, you know, the little babies anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not like the white woman had to deal with that anyway.
Yes, I can still hear you, Rio.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand that. And I feel like, you know, if you're going to do all that, then why not, you know, just still go with a surrogate? But like I said, I'm not, you know, of course, here to... I don't want to necessarily say that I want to talk somebody down. If that's how you feel, like if you feel like you're, you know, a man and you just don't have the body type or vice versa, that's completely on you. But I just think that it's like, you know, I'm really glad that y'all brought up the uterus thing, because I've heard of, you know, different transplants and different things happening. And I think that it's, you know, it's also interesting that these reproductive experiments are happening in these predominantly white areas, predominantly white countries. So, you know, there's no way that you can't think that, you know, racism is not involved. And I'm not necessarily saying anybody maybe like on the line or whatever or listening, but it's like some people, I just need to stay off of social media, but I just think that it's really interesting. But I'll go ahead and just listen offline. But I appreciate y'all very much. Thank you.
All right, I appreciate you calling,
all right,
sister.
Thank you, Sister Red. Brother Tommy, what do you think about this scenario? I think Sister Red made a very good point. Mm-hmm. But you know, they're going to try to frame this and characterize it, you know, so that it is acceptable first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So can you see the scenario of, you know, whether a couple be black, white, and let's just say for, you know, this example, it is a heterosexual couple. So you have a man and you have a woman. They're married. You know, they have the American dream of where they want to have, you know, the house, the car, the kids.
Picket fence.
Course, somewhere along the lines, the wife finds out that she can't have kids. And they don't want to get a surrogate. So now they, after much discussion, they decide that, you know, what you think about that?
They decide what? Say that again.
What if they come to the understanding that, you know, they don't want to have a surrogate, you know, because they can't trust, you know. As a matter of fact, you know, they have movies out there. I think there was one with Maurice Chestnut, mm-hmm. where the wife couldn't have a baby, and they tried to pick a surrogate, and they thought they picked, you know, a good one. She seemed very nice, wholesome, and sweet.
Right.
But the lady turned out to be crazy.
Right.
Bat crazy. So, you know, of course, so they're vilifying, you know, having a surrogate. You have no idea what kind of mental state that could be in, and the drugs that they could be taking. So through conversation, you know, they decide that, okay, well, you know what? He gonna man up, and he gonna have the baby. He gonna, you know, carry the term, and you know, how it's gonna be delivered is gonna be delivered. You know, can you see that scenario coming in the immediate future in a movie or a story nature?
Yes, I can see it. I can see it because I'm seeing other things and experiencing them around me in that I didn't think I would see. You know, I'm seeing. I can't get into it on the radio, so I'm seeing a lot of things in terms of people coming together that I didn't expect that would and have babies out of that situation where there is no male present. I'm seeing it and I'm experiencing it. So, and another thing, I'm thinking back to what Brother Thomas. Right. And another thing, I'm thinking back to what Brother Thomas was saying when he was talking about how he's really seeing this masculinization of the girls and how, you know, and I'm starting to see that also. You recognize that in mm-hmm. our area, you're seeing a lot of women now who are playing the male role, and they out here pulling quarter pieces better than what you pulling. You know what I'm saying? So I basically,
now that you say that, brother,
it's definitely going in that direction.
Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, you good.
I was just going to say, you know what? That ties into the scenario of them instituting, re-implementing the draft and allowing women to be eligible for the draft.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're drafting all these women into military service and they're going off and they're coming back either damaged or not coming back at all, mm-hmm. you know, you got a shortage of taxpayers.
Right.
You feel me?
But you got to, so but one thing you got to pay attention to.
That and, mm-hmm. And throw that back into the mix some kind of way.
Yeah, but what you got to pay attention to is there's these chicks out here wanting to be tough enough to go to the military. Think about that. So, Brother Rio, hold on. Let's go ahead and move forward. I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with this ancient future and get this last 30 minutes in on the teachings and prophetic wisdom of the seven hermetic laws. Everyone, you're listening.
I make one more point?
Yes, sir.
All right. My last point. Okay. We know that we are coming into a new age. You know, this is the age of Aquarius, and the feminine, the mother energy is on the rise, as evident. You know, a lot of women around the world just recently had a lot of protests for more political power. But I think that's just a characterization of the female energy that is reentering from the stars, from the heavens. And of course, we know we're in a patriarchal system, but we also know that we're in a system of duality. So I think they are trying to confuse the mother energy as well with all of this, you know, confusion of the genders and men having being able to have babies, which is going to give rise to what we formerly called men exhibiting more female qualities, whether it be nurturing or what have you. So it's further going to confuse the gender lines as well as the energy and the roles that men and women traditionally play, or the roles that we need to play in order to get ourselves back on the right foot and on the right path to keep building. So it's just another way of them to remain in control as well because of all the confusion that they are creating. And that's my last point, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back after the station identification.
You got the chill.
The chill.
The chill.
The chill.
The chill.
Your mind, let your conscience be free and get down to the sounds of your PMD. But you should keep quiet while the MC rap. But if you're tired, then go take a nap. Or stay awake and watch the show I take. Because right now, I'm about to shake and bake. The E-I-C-K is my name I spell. Thanks to the clientele, yo, I rock well. I'm not an MC who talking all that junk about who can beat who. Sound like a swamp. I just get down and I go for my
views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those on the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Yes, sir. Brother Rio, Melanated Roots, 8 to 10 every Monday evening. Back at you guys, and we're going to go ahead and get into
every Monday.
Yeah, we're going to get into this ancient future. You know, get away from the physical. We've been discussing, like we did last week on the show, we know all these physical things that are occurring around us. You know, we definitely peep in the game, but now we have to really understand that we all are on our own path, and the physical things are an illusion. And we have to be able to go inside and connect with that energy and that source that is real and that is true, so that we can be able to transcend this physical level and be able to prepare for that great transformation. Although we do the things in the physical realm so that we can leave for our progeny in the future generations to come, but we ultimately prepare for the great transition or the great transformation, and so that we move closer to that reality. So we're going to get into a little more understanding when it comes to the seven hermetic principles. And we're going to get back into the book Ancient Future The Hermetic, the Teachings and Prophetic Wisdom of Seven Hermetic Laws of Ancient Egypt by Wayne B. Chandler. It's got an introduction by Ivan Van Sertima on it. So we had already dealt with the first principle last week, which was the principle of the all is mind and the universe is mental. And we went we built real heavy on everything is within the all. And if it's in the, you know, there's nothing outside of the all, and how mental everything is. So we dealt with that. Now we're going to go on to principle two, which is the principle of correspondence, Brother Rio. And I'm going to bring some information on that. And family, I want you to, you know, take this to a higher level itself and give us some understanding and experience that you have through what we're about to bring. Okay, so the like I said, the second principle is the principle of correspondence. As above, so below. As below, so above. This axiom explicates the constant correspondence that exists between the various planes of life, whether recognized or not. When we perceive our solar system, vast and mystifying, with the sun at its center and the planets in orbit around the sun, we may acknowledge the same patterns on a much smaller scale, the atoms with the nucleus at its core, and the protons, electrons, and neutrons, which, like the planets, orbit around the nucleus. This understanding of this law provides a key to unlocking the enigma of the multidimensional reality in which we exist, mentally, materially, and spiritually. You feel me on that, Rio?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So
I think it illustrates nicely that, you know, things that are in operation happen on different planes. And the key thing that I'm getting from that statement is that we should continuously question how those operations work in order to gain a better understanding of it. Because if you can understand the minor, then, of course, you can understand the major, because yes, they operate in conjunction and with the same laws. So you understand the big by breaking it down and understanding the little.
Right. And understand the same processes and functions are occurring. So let me go on a little bit further with this, Brother Rio. It says, for the purpose of instruction and convenience, the ancient Hermeticists taught that the universe could be divided into three strata called the great planes of correspondence. Though these planes or divisions are more or less artificial and arbitrary, they serve as an invaluable device for comprehending the correspondence axiom. The planes are the great physical plane, the great mental plane, and the great spiritual plane. The planes in this order symbolize humankind's ascension from matter to spirit. Each plane has seven subplanes, which shade into one another in a gradual process of development. Thus, no distinct line of demarcation exists between the higher phenomena of the physical plane and the lower of the mental plane. This pattern saturates every aspect of the creative method, leaving no vacuums. Tahuti said, "There is no such thing as a void, nor can there have been, nor will there ever be. For all members of the world are completely full, so that the world itself is complete and filled with bodies diverse. Some are larger, some are smaller, and they differ in density and rarity. The rarer are very difficult or altogether impossible to see." Hence, many believe that there are not bodies, that these are not bodies, and that they are empty places, which is impossible. What you feel on that one, bro?
There is no such thing as nothing.
Yeah. No
thing. Everything is always not.
Mm-hmm. That
maybe hidden.
That nothingness is something.
Right.
you
maybe
feel me?
Beyond your senses.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is an understanding that there is something.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you think about the ancestors, is an amazing, almost mind-blowing accomplishment in comprehension.
Yeah.
To understand that, you know, even though I don't see anything, something's there. You know, I'm breathing. I don't see air, but I'm breathing air.
Yeah.
Figure out what that air was made of, you know, to figure out that energy is coming from the heavens to figure out that there is more than one plane. I mean,
yeah, well, yeah,
props to the thing, the technology, but I mean, I don't know what the ancestors were in possession of, but you know, whatever it is,
they didn't need what we had today.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they, like I say, they were naturalists. They spend all their time being naturalists, and introspection into nature basically reveals it all. Let me bring this to you, Rio. It says, by reversing the order in which humankind scales the various planes of life, we can establish the procedure of divine providence by which the all manifest creation from the great spiritual plane to the great mental plane to the great physical plane. Poimanders, in his discourse on universal Genesis, thus instructed Hermes. So this is what Poimanders said to Hermes. Hear how it is with God and the universe. God, eternity, cosmos, time, becoming. God makes eternity. Eternity makes the cosmos. The cosmos makes the time. Time makes becoming. The energy of God is mind and soul. The energy of eternity is permanence and immortality. Of the cosmos, recurrence and counter-recurrence. Of time, increase and decrease. Of becoming, quality and quantity. The source of all things is God. Eternity is their essence. The cosmos is their matter. So by employing the principle of correspondence, we can understand fully the great planes of correspondence. It is important to remember when dealing with an atom, with force and power, or with the human mind, that these are but varying degrees on one scale, and therefore are fundamentally the same in their essence. They may shade into or occupy higher aspects of mutual plane, or one may exist totally within a different strata or frequency, but they are all manifestations of the all. So one thing we want to do real fast, Brother Rio, is give a definition to the term plane, because we're talking about the three planes. And he says that plane in order, before proceeding, plane in order for its definition by Hermetists differs somewhat from Western science. In the West, the term plane relates to consciousness, a level of existence or intellectual development, a condition or a state. It also denotes a place having dimensions. But the Hermetists believe that a plane encompasses all of those characteristics and more. It is considered a state or condition, and yet this state or condition is in itself a degree of dimension on a scale subject to calculation and measurement. The mechanism used to gauge the various planes of existence is vibration. The higher the rate of vibration, the higher the plane. The higher the plane, the higher manifestation of life that accompanies that plane. How you feeling on that, Rio?
It sounds legitimate to me, because one thing that we know is that Western philosophy has a tendency to put things in a box, from their thinking to their own existence to the societies that they form and the invisible contracts that they have, you know, tricked and, mm-hmm. and forced onto everyone else, you know. Within the four borders of that piece of paper is a contract, and that contract is higher even than the Constitution. Mm. So I could feel exactly what you're reading, bro. And, you know, us being melanated and coming from a rich heritage, you know, we had a tendency to think of things in more of a totality, from communal to being one with the world, and through that world, being one with the Creator, mm-hmm. as well as being an expression of the Creator. So, yeah, I can feel that, brother. I can feel that.
Yeah, because he says right here, what is essential in Hermetic thought is not the obvious fact that everything vibrates or is in constant motion. The focus, which is the focus of popular Western science. But the Hermeticism is that there are different rates of frequencies of vibration. And the higher the vibration, the more advanced the life form. So one of the most intriguing aspects of vibration taught by the Hermetists is its relationship to thought patterns. Now, Hermetists teach that all aspects of thought, emotion, reason, will, and desire are accompanied by vibrations, a portion of which are projected and then received by individuals in close proximity. The teachings of all lands and ages, as also those of modern mental science, are to affect that the mind, in its manifestation of thought in the brain, generates a form of energy
of intensely high vibration, which energy may be and is projected in vibratory waves from the brain of the thinker, and which affects the brains of other persons within its field of influence. The Hermetists teach that by understanding the principle of vibration, when applied to mental phenomenon, individuals may polarize the mind at any degree, thus gaining absolute control over their various mental states. This process of mental transmission is called induction, or mind over mind. Many of us are aware of our mental, emotional influences on others, subtle though they may be. Adolf Hitler was reputed to have had exceptional inductive abilities that were akin to mesmerism, and he used this faculty of mind to control multitudes in the early 20th century in Germany. Well, I'm not sure about that, but you feel what he's saying?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. All that's describing is, you know, polarism.
Yes, sir.
It's the same as the advertisements that you see, you know, the Democrats being blue. Well, I can't remember what color they are, but, you know, the Republicans being blue and the Democrats being red. Mm-hmm. You know, you have two polar extremes, and between those extremes, you have every infinite scenario of possibility.
Absolutely.
But the people who are in power understand how to pull the strings to polarize the people so that they identify, well, the majority of them would identify either with the Democrats or the Republicans. And, you know, thereby effectively dividing the people and being able to create scenarios off of, you know, the way that they know people are going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That make any sense, brother?
I understand. But what do you say that again? That last part. Because what I'm saying is because it seems like you're running more towards the principle of polarity.
Well, it's all intertwined, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the polarity is a part of correspondence, you know, and as it was saying, it's just a way of those who understand it can manipulate the vibrations of people to polarize them. Mm-hmm. And a strategy to polarize people is to divide and conquer, so that if the people are divided, you already have scenarios created on what they're going to choose, and there are going to be so few people in the middle. Now you can make them either seem crazy or you can persecute them, and no one is coming to their aid. The people who are on the polar extremes, they're already caught up in the scenarios, and they are not a threat to your power or authority. So that's just an example of how that principle has been used. You know, I guess we don't have to put good or evil to it, but mm-hmm. You know, it's just a reality, and it's being used to our detriment at this particular time.
Yeah.
But if we can understand it, then we can overcome it. But I was just using that as an example or an illustration of what you were reading.
Okay, I understand. But okay, well, the reason why I was a little off, because I made a mistake, because I was reading some information because on the principle of vibration. Let me clean this up real fast. I had some information in this book going from correspondence, and the next principle is the principle of vibration. So when we were talking about the principle of correspondence in the great planes and how the three great planes and how they correspond with each other, that is the extent of the core of the principle of correspondence, as above, so below, that all things are one in their corresponding and interacting with each other at its most mundane level. And that is the principle of correspondence. Then what I didn't tell you is, because I had flipped to a page in the book, is we had moved into the principle of vibration, which I didn't make that clear to you. And it was nothing rest. Everything moves, everything vibrates. And so I had started reading some information, which was in relation to vibration. I'd falsely said something about us. You know, I mean, people were thinking we were dealing with correspondence. So a lot of what you were just talking about and information that I just read after we were looking at how the levels correspond with each other was about vibration. And now,
right. I was explaining from how correspondence comes down into vibration.
Yes, sir.
It's
absolutely
just a manifestation of the correspondence.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Right. I just want to clean that up. Yes, sir. I'm with you now, Brother Rio. We clicking now. I feel you. And after that, brother, it goes to the next principle after that is the principle of polarity. And it says everything is dual.
Oh, okay.
Everything, and I'm gonna get back on track. And then after the principle of vibration, then it goes to the principle of polarity. And the principle of polarity is everything is dual. Everything has poles. Everything has its pair of opposites. Like and unlike are the same. Opposites are identical in nature, but different in degree. Extremes meet. All truths are but half truths. All paradoxes may be reconciled. So on that information, I'm going to bring you this where I'm going to clean that up a little bit. It says that this law.
You got a hand raised, brother.
Okay. All right. Let me
area code 609.
Okay. Let me
before you continue.
Hold on. Let me clean this up real fast, real. Then I'm gonna come to you, Roz. The principle of polarity says this law exemplifies the truth that for every extreme there is another equally as valid, and that the extremes thus opposed may have the effect of balancing each other. There are two sides to everything, and every truth may also be false. Humans experience this duality throughout life. For example, a woman who lives by a particular reality may find that a year later she has matured, grown, and her perspectives have changed, and thus invalidating her prior truth or reality. Hermes stated that everything is divided into opposites. However, these opposites are identical in their nature, differing only in their degree. To illustrate, hot and cold are the same thing, temperature. They simply occupy different places on the temperature scale. The same may be seen with short and tall, light and dark, or large and small, all which reflect opposite extremes of the same scale. One commonly experienced duality is love and hate. These are two mental states that reflect opposing degrees of emotion and often fade into and out of one another to such a degree that they are barely distinguishable. The maxim, "There's a thin line between love and hate," is a truism. Often we move from love to hate and back again. Within this principle, we can uncover the art of polarization, a kind of mental alchemy that allows people to change their individual psyches from hate to love or from evil to good. What'd you feel, real? Or you can go to Brother Roz on that one.
Brother Roz, what you got to bring, brother?
I think what you said was really, really great, especially when you look at the Democrats and the Republicans. Mm-hmm. They're both one and the same thing, two different groups of white supremacists mm-hmm. operating on two opposite poles. So one tends to look like the good guy, i.e. the Democrats. The other one tends to look like the bad guy, i.e. the Republicans. But they're all the same thing. Like Dr. Wilson would say, two wings on the same bird. So, you know, that's the greatest example of that, because you see that we've gotten no change. And what I was going to say is when you look at that whole concept of duality, that is what white people have manipulated masterfully. They give you a duality, and in every duality, it's a choice you can't refuse, because it's the only choice they give you as the dominant group. So it's either the Republicans or the Democrats. Now there's they're giving you a choice you can't refuse with sexuality, because you don't know what you're going to get. Is it a robot? Is it a man that used to be a woman? Is it a woman that used to be a man? You know, like there's no good choice. it's literally, you have a choice you can't refuse, and just both of them are horrible. It's just that one might lead you down the path to death a little quicker than another, but it's the same thing, a path to death. And what I really thought about, because it reminds me when I went through initiation, and we had learned in initiation that there's no such thing as an empty space. All space is filled. Even in situations where you perceive yourself to be alone, you're not really alone. You know, entities are living in every bit of space that exists in different dimensions. And as you become more adept in the spiritual practice and in meditation, you start to learn how to, what they call the veil. You'll be able to see some of these beings, or they'll be able to reveal themselves to you. And it's something that I've experienced myself. Some people experience it too. Sometimes, like if you ever in your house, and you like some people will see shadows running across the floor, and it's like you can never focus on the shadow. It's almost always like a step in front of your eyes, so you can't focus on it, mm-hmm. but you know something's there.
Right.
That's when you're piercing the veil. You're just not able to see right, with specificity, like you can in your waking consciousness if you're looking at an object and it looks solid. You know, you look at a bookshelf. The bookshelf looks solid. The only reason it looks solid is because it's vibrating on a slower vibratory frequency. So when you hit it, it's wood. You hear knock, knock, knock. But in reality, it's vibrating. You can look at a mirror. I remember when I was really young, I came across this mirror that was 100 years old. And the mirror had ripples in it. It looked just like the waves of the ocean. And they were going down towards the floor. But the mirror was that old that the glass itself, because glass is actually a liquid. We think that it's glass, that glass is a solid. Glass is actually a liquid.
Right.
And it was moving so slowly as far as gravity pulling on the molecules of that mirror that after 100 years' time, it had ripples in it, just like the wave of the ocean, perfect ripples. But it was being pulled towards the ground because it was a mirror that was standing upright for 100 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that appear to be solid to us are not really solid. And what I've come to understand is that these entities, these deities, these archetypes that are also a part of us, they exist in different planes, but they're there. Mm-hmm. And as you start to interact with them, they make themselves known to you in ways that become very, very, very profound.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I love that you talked about was the all. Because, you know, the prayer that I say, you know, I'm in the love of the all and all love is in me. I am a part of the all and the all is a part of me.
Right.
I am one with the all and the all is part
one
of
with me.
One with me, excuse me.
Right.
I can succeed as a part of the all and fail as an individual.
Right.
I can be all that I wish in the all as long as my wish is to stay in the all. So what you're looking at is white people want to function outside of the all. And that is why they're dying. That is why they're a non-viable genetically modified organism, because everything that they do is not in concert with nature that builds upon the prospects of life as the creator created it and facilitated it from the very beginning. They're trying to be the creator him herself, and as a result, everything that they do is going to fail, even their existence. Thus, you have the negative birth rate and all of these wonderful different means of procreating that you talked about throughout the earlier portion of the show.
Right.
So when you function outside of the machinations of normalcy in the regards to how netter or nature functions, then you cease to be a viable organism and the earth will purge itself of you. The universe will purge itself of you just like it's purging itself of them. Just like you said, everything falls under the parameters of the all. So all kinds of things in existence are always possible. Are all different aspects of the way people live their lives viable? And are they meant to be propagated? I say no. And thus the reason we see what's happening to white people now. They just haven't learned that yet. They're so busy trying to conquer everything and everyone that they're not even seeing the folly in the things that they're doing. And it's okay. That's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to push us to rise to a higher vibration so we can crush the crap that they're doing. So really, to me, that's what their existence has always been. You know, you study the history of Set and Asar and Heru.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always say that Set was evil. Set wasn't evil. Their stories of Set defending Ra. When he rides in the boat across the sky, the boat of a million years,
absolutely.
It was Ra that in some cases speared, hit Ra's enemy, Apep. It was Set who did that on the bark. So Set wasn't evil. What Set was is opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between evil and opposition.
Mm-hmm.
What opposition does is it crosses
Can I say something to you, brother Ross?
Yes, sure.
Hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you say that Set is opposition, well, I take it from a standpoint that Set represents a principle of nature, and
yes.
And that principle of nature is darkness, and what darknesses encompass in terms of its opposition or rulership or authority over light. You know, darkness mm-hmm. in terms of absence of light bring forth death, bring forth causes things to cessate. It's the opposite of renewal. It's the opposite of growth. It's the opposite of generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm seeing Set from a standpoint of representing the darkness that is absent of the light and the domain in which the darkness rules over. Do you feel me on that one?
Yes, I think you're accurate with that too. The context in which I'm bringing the concept of opposition is not in opposition to what you're saying. You are correct. There is an absolute to darkness, which actually white people exemplify. Okay. And they have us on the fast track to that ultimate permanent darkness if we continue on this path. Mm-hmm. But when I speak in opposition, I speak in the sense of, in other words, white people are here creating all of these obstacles to our ability to be sovereign, autonomous human beings mm-hmm. in the lands in which we are the indigenous people globally. Mm-hmm. So they represent that session opposition, which should breed genius in our ability to conquer the obstacles they put in front of us. So in other words, what breeds invention is some form of opposition. A chair wasn't invented until somebody had the need to sit down. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So everything that exists came from a place where it didn't exist in the necessity, that's what the opposition would be in that case, would create the genius in all people to benefit and move past that particular obstacle. So these people represent the ultimate obstacle, black people's ability to survive on this planet as sovereign human beings. Mm-hmm. So we now have to come up with the ultimate answer to the problem. And that's the context in which I look at them. But it ties into what you just said, because if we don't come up with the solution to the problem, we're going to end up in that ultimate blackness where life is safe. And that is not some place we want to be or some place we want to enter. So everything you said made complete sense. But when you look at them in the sense of being that opposition, that thing that stops us from being able to do the things that we are supposed to do as natural, melanated, indigenous beings, mm-hmm. then we have to figure out a way to circumvent that and to eliminate that. And that is where all of us talking about the things we talk about and trying to facilitate thoughts and ideas in these think tanks is most necessary. Go ahead, bro.
I believe what's most necessary really is they giving us the blueprint is we have to be able to manipulate the laws. But and when I use the word manipulate, or we could use apply them to their higher consciousness. Like, for instance, we know that a pendulum is going to swing, that it's going to swing as high to the left as it is to the right. Well, depending on your consciousness, your morality, your spiritual development and cultivation, that's going to determine how heavily that pendulum affects you. You can rise to the higher aspect of the principle and be less affected by the ebb and flow of the lower aspect of it. So I believe that the application and the understanding of being able to rise to the higher level of all these principles will put us in a position where we can use them to our favor, especially if you look at the principle of cause and effect. We can be the cause and bring about the desired effect. But the only way that we can do that is if we have elevated ourselves and cultivated ourselves spiritually for us to be able to raise to the higher level of those principles. You feel me, my brother?
Yes, and you made me think of, absolutely, I think you made me think of something else too, because we always talk about these, the 42 laws of Ma'at, and there's actually way more than that, but that's the ones that were buried with the dead. But the interesting part about it is we look at those things as ancient principles that have, a lot of people would think they have no place or value in today's society. But if we lived more Ma'ashin lives, centered lives, a lot of the stuff like you see, like now that, homosexuals are the new Jews. You can't say anything about them, and certain phrases you can't use publicly, otherwise you might ruin your career or possibly just the rest of your life.
Right.
Absolutely. If we're living a Ma'ashin existence, then we would not be violating any rules for them to use against us, cause and effect, like you just said. So the whole idea is, like, we're in the world now where everybody has cameras, but yet people are still stupid enough to do things that they shouldn't be doing that's always caught on camera. And then you see it on the news or you see it on World Star Hip Hop and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this person did that.
Right.
But if that person was living a Ma'ashin life, understanding that even when they think they're alone, they're not alone. That's something I taught my son. And he came to me one day, he's 22 now, he came to me one day and said, you know, Dad, when you used to, you know, really beat me in the head with, you know, with all of this understanding of the story of Asar Set and Haru and Tahuti, and you would tell me things like, you know, Tahuti's watching you, recording your thoughts, words, and deeds. Your ancestors are watching everything you do. He told me, he said that admonishment made him function in a way that was unassailable. So he was never caught up in the crap that some of his classmates were caught up in, because he always had it in the back of his mind, you know, I'm being watched, even when I think I'm not being watched. And if we function like that as adults today, World Star Hip Hop wouldn't exist. A lot of the stuff we see on the news wouldn't exist, thus cause and effect. We're making ourselves look like the narratives that they've put out about us for over 1,000 years now. If we start functioning in a Maashan way, we would be unassailable in character, what they call Iwapele in the Yoruba culture, which means good character. So if you're walking around with good character, your character is unassailable, then they have to find another means to try and emasculate you, because you're functioning at a level that is unassailable. A great example of that would have been Minister Malcolm X. Once he made his change, it was permanent, and they could never assail his character, because he always behaved in an upright manner, in a Maashan manner. And that is a great answer, or one of the answers that we can use to help combat the system. So I'll mute myself. Thanks, good brother. Yes. And a wonderful show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother Roz. Brother Thomas and MHDC, we're coming to you after Brother Thomas. Go ahead, Brother Thomas.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow. Well, you know, that polarity in that story, to me, and I kind of agree with you, mm-hmm. Set, you know, means darkness. In my opinion, dark matter, the darkness between open space or antimatter,
mm-hmm.
and his opposition to me isn't Asar, because he killed him. It's Heru, who fights him perpetually, the sun, which comes out to fight the light, the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, of course, the light, you know, the illuminated, in my opinion, or the sun, you know, material. Matter. That's just how I look at that story.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this God complex and that our opposing, you know, polarity, white people, is from who they're emulating and who their society, and they make no quarrels about who their society is emulating, is ancient Kemet. Those were the first people to do all this godly stuff. Trying to actually be God, you know, instead of being one with God. And I see that is exactly this technology that they're coming out with that you just mentioned on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's all stuff that they was playing with there. That's why we have these people today. And they've just gotten to that part with the science that they're pretty much mimicking the people that made them. And I'll mute my line. Thank you, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother Thomas. Yes, sir. what's up, MHDC?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I agree. We made these people. But the other thing was, as far as the vibrations,
mm-hmm.
and higher vibrations, you know, certain entities being able to function on certain higher vibrations or exist at certain higher vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
So black people, so a black body in thermodynamics, a black body to absorb more, and then heat would be a high vibration, you know, hotter it gets, the more things move, the faster they move.
Absolutely.
Higher vibration. And, so a black body is able to, absorb the vibrations or the energy of everything. I mean, it can absorb all spectrum of energy. But then a white body is not able to absorb any spectrum of energy. And so what happens is, well, what I was going to get to was just with, I mentioned before, white people can't stand heat. They don't vibrate at a high enough frequency. Mm-hmm. Their body's not going to be able to vibrate at a high enough frequency to withstand the heat that's coming. And the heat that they keep preventing, that's why they keep doing these chemtrails with all the white clouds,
mm-hmm.
the white albedo or albino is white. The white cloud reflects the heat and the light. But if they were accepting that heat and light, they would, you know, they would die quickly. very quickly, actually. And just another thing with the high vibrations and then heat being high vibrations. Mm-hmm. I set a bonfire a couple times, but in particular, like 2 years ago, I set this bonfire, real big bonfire. It was for whatever reason, these white people had showed up to my my family's reunion. I don't even know who these people were. But once I set that bonfire, the white people vanished. They weren't able to take the heat. Mm. Same thing when during the winter, I had one of these. I was in one of my friend's house where they have one of those standalone heaters that's made out of metal. So it, when it gets hot, it gets hot. Mm. I mean, well, it gets decent. So like we were comfortable. But this white girl walked in, and all she was all fidgety and, you know, uncomfortable, and she's almost starting to sweat, and you can just see her, like, they can't withstand the same type of heat we can. Even when we're comfortable, they're uncomfortable. Heat will destroy them.
Mm. Yes, sir. Wow. Yes, sir, brother. MIDC makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, that is a great correlation. In terms of when we're talking about the concept of vibration and the higher the vibration. And not only that, my children, Brother Rio, been going through a science program to where they just did a lesson on what Brother Imhadisi was talking about in terms of the hotter something gets, the more something is vibrating. That you know what I'm saying? That's the difference between something being solid, liquid, and gas. And the hotter it's getting, the more the particles and matter and molecules are jumping around and separating and spreading further and expressing themselves more. And the colder it gets, the lower the frequency, they start to solidify and become very stiff and solid in terms of the coolness. So he's making an excellent point in terms of the ability of a black body or a melanated body. You know that we are absorbing. You know how hot a black pavement gets compared to a lighter colored concrete as you're driving past it. Excellent correlation. What you think, Brother Rio?
I think the brother's on point. I think I think we have a firm understanding that, we have vehicles that are more adaptable to nature because we are, I think, closer to nature in the way that we were formed. Howbeit they got here, of course, a lot of that is debatable and can be questioned, but I think that is a truth that we can grasp is that, you know, we occurred and we matured in a more natural state, and that is why we are closer to nature. One thing I do want the family to be careful about is that, again, we're talking about duality, correspondence, vibration, and of course all being mind. All paradoxes can be resolved, but you know, melanin is also a double-edged sword, that which allows us the capability and the potential to absorb energy and heat and further unwrap the mysteries of the universe can also be a detriment because, we can also be addicted to drugs and, all the lower spectrum we can also absorb as well. So, we can be the highest divinity, and we can be the lowest devils. You know, it's all in how we choose to express and manifest the things that are coming into our spheres. So, we are definitely conduits, and the oppressor has figured out ways to use those gifts for his own benefits and his own purpose. So, again, I believe that's the importance that we're stressing in January about self-cultivation, coming back to center, being able to balance yourself, because you can have too much of a good thing as well. So you have to know how to balance your own vibration. You spend too much time in the clouds or on a high vibration, and you lose that common touch with man, then, you know, you're pretty much going to be out there on your own, which is, again, not as communal as we've been, you know, socialized from history and our past to be. So, you know, there are times we need to be at high vibrations, and there are times when, yeah, you know, you're going to have to manifest some low vibrations. But I believe that the laws are in place, whether you call them Mayan laws or the universal laws, they're there for us to understand and be able to balance ourselves so that we can navigate on this this earthly plane, on this realm, and we can live the way, you know, that we self-determine as a community to live. You got any thoughts on that, brother?
Yeah. No, I feel you. We do have a caller coming out of California, area code 408. What's your name and make your comment, please? Area code 408. Okay, they just
might have to hit star to unmute you.
I unmuted them, but maybe they accidentally unmuted themselves. They can unmute themselves. Yes, sir, brother. Real, very, very good show, man. I think we did had a good time. Had a good show. Had a good time. And enjoyed the great conversation. And I feel also we covered some really positive information. The next principle is the principle of gender. Gender is in everything. Everything has its masculine and feminine principles, and gender manifests on all planes. So we'll continue and bring those into play because we got to deal with gender. Also,
brother, did you do law and effect?
No. Then after that is the principle of rhythm, and then after that is the principle of cause and effect. And that's what the principle of rhythm is. Everything flows out and in. Everything has its tide. All things rise and fall. The pendulum swing manifests in everything. The measure of the swing to the right is the measure of the swing to the left. Rhythm compensates. And then that last law is the principle of cause and effect. Every cause has its effect. Every effect has its cause. Everything happens according to law. Chance is but a name for law not recognized. There are many planes of causation, but nothing escapes the law. So, yeah, Brother Real, we're going to come with that and clean it up. Next week in the second hour, we're going to come with some positive. It's a good conversation for the first hour as well. So, you know, I just want to say I appreciate the people, family calling in different perspectives, a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge, not a lot of information. I just believe that the people who are hearing these type of dialogues and conversations from these brilliant minds, I just think that they can't get nothing but something positive out of it. So I believe that everyone on the call gave what they were meant to give tonight, and doing what they're supposed to do in terms of imparting the knowledge and information that is being channeled through them. So I got much love and much respect for that. And, you know, I appreciate it. And I'm definitely looking forward to it next Monday, Brio.
Yeah. Guys, take care of yourself. This is January. This is a continued season for nurturing the seed. I want to teach that hopefully you've already planted, and it is not too late to begin to plant seeds. So go ahead and if you haven't, start now, and then cultivate yourself. Cultivate yourself to be in balance, to understand the world and nature around us. And again, you know, we bring these articles not to discourage, but to uplift, because we are being able to manifest our own destinies. We are empowered with knowledge. So take this knowledge, discuss it amongst yourselves, and please do more research, bring it back to the table so that others can benefit. And, you know, in the end, that's what this is all about. We want to get back to our melanated roots. We want to, again, learn to operate as a community and thrive off of each other's genius and be there to support each other when, you know, we are facing more resistance. So just lean on somebody. And if not, come back next Monday. We'll be here 8 to 10, and you can lean on us. So together we're going to rise. So be safe, take care of each other and yourself. Peace.
Peace.
The importance of it, yeah, yeah, we're back to work. I took time off while the rappers got jerked due to the fact they whackin' their track. Have to go back and stack cause they lack the ingredients, EPMD and scratch for that. Yo, I'm the hip-hopper, plus the show shocker. Down with MD, yes, the microphone doctor. One wrecks, the other dissuasion. If you think you're ready to mess, kill the noise. We don't play when it's time to slay. I get a cut from my homie, yo, then I lay back and mac and all the rhymes I pack and wait for a sucker to jump and then attack.
Well, I'm known to be the master in the MC field. No respect in 87, 88, Chenille, cause I produce and get loose when it's time to perform. Whack a sucker like Mop and Glow.
That's what it was.
Back the second time, but on a different assignment to do a sucker new jack. Who needs a rap in alignment? Cause I'm the cream in the crop when it's time to do a show. Curly's on my job for my dope intro. As I glance at the double K microphone wrecker, turn on my callers, say your mic checker to the ladies. In all party goers, some call me Pete, then other slow flower. Brothers on my jock for the way I hold a piece of steel. So what you saying? So what you saying? See what you're saying.
Putting heads to bed. Straight out the box, MCs are jumping out shoes and socks. I'm not playing. Understand what I'm saying? Cut the sucker in my way, and I'm slaying. Taking no shorts, showing vital signs. You can tell by my lines that I'm getting mines in 89. Because I'm fine as wine, sit back and recline. Watch the sunshine, take a stroll. Listen to rock and roll. Hit the flick at the movies, dance a bowl. What I choose, I refuse to slack. While I'm back, I take a chance, Jack. So I must attack with knick-knack, paddywhack, so I won't lack. All my style is death and it's deadly as crap.
While I'm slaying, music's playing, a sucker is the lane. Battle in the trenches with a funky be playing. Cause with a partner like your double, don't come a dime a dozen. I kin of blood related, but you could call us cousins. Cause as we climb the chart, better known as statistics. Brothers on my jock while I'm kicking ballistics. Dropping hits like I'm house and you got the chillin' more. The proof is in the pudding.
Yo, check the billboard.
Deep around town talking this and that. How we sound like the R and our music was whack. Drop the album Strictly Business and you thought we would fold. 30 days later, the LP went gold. So what you saying?
Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Okay.